Digital Media Insider, Episode 20, November 8, 2007. Welcome to Digital Media Insider from O'Reilly.com. On our website, we explore the future of audio, video, and photography to help you get more creative with technology. I'm David Bettino, and I edit the audio section of the site. One of the fascinating things about modern music production is the creative tension between computer precision and human feel. In this episode, we'll explore one of the best examples of that, quantization. Quantizing means rounding things off, moving notes to the precise metronomic positions that computers expect. But by playing in the cracks between those points, you can create some powerful grooves. To illustrate, here's a sloppy drum pattern I recorded in Isotope iDrum by tapping the keys on my computer keyboard. Now here's that same pattern quantized to 16th notes in Ableton Live. Next we'll quantize to 16th notes again, but with a quantization strength of 95%. In other words, instead of moving the sloppy notes all the way onto the beat, Live moves them 95% of the way. That tightens the rhythm while maintaining some of the feel. That last example was subtle, but most people will prefer it without realizing why. Next, we'll quantize the drums to 8th notes with 95% strength. Notice how the boring rhythm is getting even duller. Psychologically, this is similar to digital audio resolution. The higher the sampling rate, the more lifelike the music. To get totally low res, here's the same rhythm quantized to quarter notes. Because we're still using 95% quantization, you'll hear some flamming as the drums don't hit exactly on the beat. Finally, here's the original rhythm quantized to 8th note triplets. Even though the resolution is low, notice how the groove starts to swing a bit. In fact, most drum machines and MIDI sequencers now have a type of quantization called swing or shuffle. Drum machine inventor Roger Lynn discovered the shuffle technique while he was searching for a way to convert straight 16th notes into 16th note triplets. You can read about this happy accident at digitalmedia.oreilly.com. But here's what it sounds like. First, we'll hear a squarely quantized drum and bass pattern. Now here's the same beat with iDrum's swing quantize set to 13. Notice how the parts start to groove. Now we'll push the swing up to 19. When I was interviewing artists for my book, The Art of Digital Music, I asked how they exploited the tension between human and machine feel. Glenn Ballard, who produced Alanis Morissette's 33 million-selling Jagged Little Pill, told me it was a constant question of how much slop to allow. He explains in this clip from the book's DVD.
The challenge, usually for me, is to take real acoustic playing of interesting instruments and put them up against the grid of metronomic time, which people somewhat demand. I think you have to sort of, on some level, reconcile those rhythmic elements a little bit, which means sometimes, you know, correcting stuff in the live performances. And I don't even mean correcting it, but I mean just kind of morphing it into more metronomic stuff, you know. But this is something that I try to reconcile really with everything I do. It's that rhythmic element. It's that the sense that almost everything that people hear now, certainly in America, is quantized, it's metronomic, it's the atomic clock. And so you put a real drummer on sometimes people don't get that. They don't know how to listen to that alone now. They need that extra little authority of the regular time. So it's always how far do you go with that? How far do you take, you know, a conga part and turn it into a loop that's really locked down? Or do you, how much slop do you allow, you know?
Next, I asked producer Niall Rogers about Glenn Ballard's idea that human rhythms sound a little wrong now. Here's what he said.
Oh, yeah. In other words, that humans don't feel real now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I understand. I was pondering that just last night, listening to a record from an artist that I want to sign, and he had given me 9 tracks. The first 7 were played with his band and had a distinct quality to them. And then the second 2 were sequenced
mm-hmm.
and had a different quality. And this is really weird for me to say this, but I, you know, sent him a message last night and said, man, the only 2 songs that I was really into were the last 2.
Hmm.
Now, it could have been because of the compositions, but a lot of it had to do with the feel. The feel of his band wasn't as good as the sequencers.
Interesting.
And that's really interesting coming from me. I'm all about live and groove and all that sort of thing.
One of the most poignant comments in the book came from producer Scotch Ralston, who complained that computers impose a visual tyranny over musicians as well.
That's also another thing that I've noticed about the Pro Tools era. You're there and you're in the studio, and for the longest time it was always the lights are dim, there's no windows anywhere, and you could just close your eyes and just listen, you know, and that's what it was all about. And now I find that everyone's kind of huddled around the monitor, like watching the music go by. And in a way, you know how sometimes if you are deprived of one sense, it makes your other senses stronger? I feel like since people are watching everything, that sometimes it's not as much of an audio experience. And I've noticed that with a lot of performers, when they see their performance on the screen, and maybe there's a grid laid behind it that represents the bars and beats, they'll be like, oh man, I'm late right there. My kick drum's really early right here. And if you didn't see it, you wouldn't really hear it. And sometimes it would be better to just not really have ever known that.
So like any powerful tool, quantization can be overused, but it can also save the day. Here's the beginning of a theme song I wrote for a high-tech company. Because I didn't have the computer's latency settings configured correctly, the guitar melody didn't align with the beat. The guitar part was already an audio file, but by dragging the warp markers in Ableton Live, I was able to make the performance tighter. I also toned down the kick drum to help the blend. For details on these examples, see the show notes at digitalmedia.oreilly.com. I've also put the entire quantization chapter from The Art of Digital Music online as a PDF. It covers pitch quantization as well, which is a fascinating topic in its own right. You've been listening to Digital Media Insider, the official podcast of the O'Reilly Digital Media site. Visit us at digitalmedia.oreilly.com. That's O-R-E-I-L-L-Y. And let us know what creative technologies you'd like to explore. As always, I wrote this music using software that I learned about while editing articles for the site. See the show notes for links. For O'Reilly Digital Media, I'm David Pitino.
And that's really interesting coming from me, because I'm all about live and groove and all that sort of thing.